The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's also you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Guess what, Mango?
What's that, Will?
All right, so we're both big fans of basketball, and so I got a kick out of the story I read the other day. I don't know if you've seen this. Do you know that North Korea actually plays basketball completely differently than we do here in the States?
So I knew Kim Jong-un was a fan of basketball, but how is the game different over there?
I guess he personally changed the rules of the sport because he wanted the game to be more exciting. Uh-huh. And also, I don't know if you've noticed, but he's a dictator, so he can just change the rules for whatever he wants. Uh-huh. But all right, so here are a few of the rule changes for North Korean basketball. A slam dunk is 3 points. If you swish a traditional three-pointer, it becomes a four-pointer.
Sure.
But if you miss a free throw, you lose a point. Now, this would be highly problematic for players like Shaq. I don't think he would do so well in the North Korean Basketball Association. But and then the last one here is, in the final 3 minutes of a game, every two-pointer becomes an eight-pointer.
That's so crazy. I feel like it honestly sounds like my five-year-old just changing the rules as you play.
Yep.
Like, just this arbitrary wielding of power.
Yeah,
but
an eight-pointer.
Also, like, how good would the Warriors be in that system with Steph Curry just draining eight-pointers at the end of a game?
I don't think it would be fair at all. But anyway, well, reading those rules made me wonder about strange rules in sports and what other rule changes we might not know about. So that's what today's Nine Things is all about. Let's dive in. Hey there, podcast listeners. Welcome to Part-Time Genius. I'm Will Pearson, and as always, I'm joined by my good friend Mangesh Hatikader. And sitting behind the soundproof glass, trying to devise an improved tic-tac-toe game with, are those plastic amphibians?
Yeah, yeah.
And he's calling it, oh, I get it. He's calling it tic-tac-toad. Well, I say I get it, but I get
still
that
don't
a
get
toad
it.
Is an amphibian. But that's our good friend and producer, Tristan McNeil. He is always up to something interesting. All right. So, Mango, today's show is all about rules and rule changes in games. I'm curious, do you have any house rules or improved rules for any games that you've played over the years?
Yeah, so I was thinking about this a little. I mean, we had minor variations on games. Like, we turned croquet into extreme croquet.
Ooh.
And we'd play it in snow and ice over, like, five or six backyards as a kid. Or we used to play basketball in this strange indoor-outdoor gym that was walled in on three sides.
Uh-huh.
And it had no out-of-bounds. So you could, like, make these amazing bounce passes to yourself off the wall.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And trick shots off these, like, beams. It was just super fun. But you know, I can't say we thought of anything super creative. You know, well, one variation to me that's so much better than the original game, though, is Team Sorry. Have you ever played this?
I don't think so. Is it like the game Sorry?
Yeah, it's exactly like the game Sorry, except you play it on teams. And our friend Jeff Rubin introduced me to it. He does that wonderful Jeff Rubin podcast, which everyone should listen to. But what's amazing is that, like, you team up with the person who's sitting across from you, and you play with both your pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And it just makes the game so much more fun. Like, everyone's invested.
Huh.
Plus, in the rules, at the end of the game, whoever wins or loses, you have to end with a four-way high five. So that honestly makes everyone so happy at the end of the game. It's really great.
I have a feeling, really, that's the main reason that you love the game. All right, we'll have to try that in the office sometimes because it does sound fun. All right, so what's your first fact of the day?
So how about wartime rules for golf? I'm not a golfer, but I found this on Lists of Note, and I love that people were so dedicated to golf that they came up with a list of wartime rules for it. So,
like they're actually playing during a war?
Yeah, it's amazing. So here are a few ways to play during a war. Players are asked to collect bomb and shrapnel splinters to save causing damage to the mowing machines, which I guess sounds fine. Yeah. You should pick them up as you play. In competitions, during gunfire or while bombs are falling, players may take cover without penalty for ceasing play.
Oh my gosh, how kind of them to let them avoid being bombed.
Or shot.
Yeah.
And a player whose stroke is affected by the simultaneous explosion of a bomb may play another ball from the same place, penalty one stroke.
I like that they have rules for this.
I know, just the idea that like if a bomb goes off as you play, but you still want to keep playing.
Right.
You can take your shot over again, but you still lose a stroke.
You lose a stroke. It makes sense because, yeah, that just makes perfect sense. That is bananas.
So what's your next fact?
All right. Well, I was going to do something on kickball, but I think I'm going to save that one for a little bit later because I also found some old golf rules that you might like. So our friend Nick Green did a great story on old golf rules that no longer exist. And there were a lot of them on here that I didn't know. Like, instead of a tee box, the original rule is that you would put your ball one stick's length from the hole, and then you'd start the next hole. So once you finished a hole, you just put one stick length, and then you'd start right from there, which I'm guessing, you know, would cause some traffic jams golf course of people trying to finish out each hole. Also, when you dropped a ball on the course, you were supposed to, quote, stand erect, face the hole, and then drop the ball over your shoulder. Very specific. I don't really know exactly what
you're tossing spilled salt or something.
I guess so. But I mean, I'm not sure why it had to be behind your back, but maybe that's so you didn't get some sort of unfair advantage. But I think my favorite old-timey rule that's been changed since, you know, this is from the rules of golf as played by the Society of St. Andrews Golfers from 1812. It reads, quote, "If the player's ball strikes his adversary or his caddy, the adversary loses the hole. If it strikes his own caddy, the player loses the hole," which means you could technically aim for the other player. And if you hit him or his caddy, I guess you win the hole, which does add like maybe a little bit of excitement to the game, but also kind of sounds awful. But, you know, that said, the rule does clarify that it has to be with the ball. Like if you strike an opposing player with your club, then you lose the hole. So
I'm glad they clarified that for everyone.
Yeah.
I do feel like if that's how golf was still played, you'd get a lot more people watching it on TV.
I think so, for sure. I think the ratings will go through the roof. Okay, so what's your next fact?
So this isn't exactly a rule change, but it is a big change to a board game I loved as a kid, which is Clue.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, plenty of board games have been altered over the years. Scrabble allows words like yo and za, which is short for pizza.
It allows both those words now?
Yeah, it's crazy. My grandmom would be incensed. Monopoly got rid of the iron and the thimble.
Yeah.
The thimble was actually my favorite piece, but they've replaced it for like a cat and a rubber ducky, and I think there's even a penguin in the mix for some reason.
I think so.
But one of the things I only just learned about was that Clue killed off Mrs. White, who was the housekeeper slash cook character.
Huh. And so who'd they replace her with?
So they replaced her with Dr. Orchid, who's this PhD in plant toxicology. And initially, you know, when I read this, I was just like stomping about and harumphing about like, why do games have to change or whatever?
So angry.
But then I read Orchid's backstory, and I kind of love it. So apparently she's the adopted daughter of the mansion's owner, and she was expelled from a fancy Swiss boarding school after, quote, a near-fatal daffodil poisoning incident.
Oh, dear. Wow.
Which is already hilarious. And then she was homeschooled by Mrs. White, the woman she suspiciously replaces. She's also Asian, which Slate points out makes her the only recognizable person of color in the game.
Yeah.
But Hasbro's statement about it is really the best. They wrote, quote, "It was a difficult decision to say goodbye to Mrs. White, but after 70 years of suspicious activity, we decided that one of the characters had to go."
Well, it does seem like a reasonable replacement. All right, well, here's something I've always wondered as a fan of the show Jeopardy, and that is, why is it that only the winner gets to keep the cash? You know, in Wheel of Fortune or other game shows, if you win some money along the way, you actually do get to keep
it. Yeah, that's right.
But Jeopardy wasn't always this way. So in the original version of the show, this aired way back in the 60s, the second and third place would get to keep their winnings. But in 1967, there was a contestant who ruined it for everyone. So he appeared on Jeopardy with the sole intent of winning enough money to buy an engagement ring, which seems honest enough. But midway through the game, when he'd amassed enough winnings, he just shut his mouth and stopped playing. Get it? So, like, he got to a certain amount of money and knew if that was it. And, you know, he thought if he answered any questions wrong, he might lose that money. And so this exposed a real flaw in the system.
That's just great TV.
Exactly. So when the show returned for primetime, the showrunners wanted to make sure that didn't happen again. After all, I mean, like, it could be disastrous if all three players decided halfway through the game to stop and just say, like, okay, we've won enough money. So they changed the rules so that only the winner would take home the cash. And it turned into a horse race to, you know, to Final Jeopardy.
Which is a great story. But what about the guy? Like, do you know anything more about him?
I was reading on a Jeopardy blog, and he actually spent that money in the right place. According to a book written on Jeopardy, 23 years later, when the game show checked in on him, he was actually still married to that woman. So it is kind of a nice story.
I do like that. Well, here's something I didn't realize. Did you know that up until 1997, not all ice hockey players had to wear helmets when they played?
No. God, that seems awful.
I know. And in the 90s. But, you know, I'm obviously not a huge hockey fan. I'll get into the Olympics. And, you know, I used to play like floor hockey in gym. But it's not a sport I pretend to watch. But, you know, it really does seem unimaginable to me that all the way up until 97, you could still play the game without a helmet.
Yeah.
But it's for an interesting reason. So apparently the NHL has mandated headgear since 1979, mm-hmm. the 1979-1980 season in particular. But according to the New York Times, players were then allowed to decide for themselves whether they wanted to wear a helmet, although if they didn't, they were required to sign a waiver. So this one player, Craig McTavish, he was grandfathered in during his rookie season, and he played helmetless for 16 years until the 96-97 season. And at the time, he said he was really lucky to and grateful to have left the game without any serious head injuries. So, you know, reporters asked him, why didn't you just wear the thing? And he just shrugged and said, it was a comfort thing.
Wow. I kind of want to see a brain study on this guy. That is, yeah. That's pretty wild. All right. Well, here's a quick one for you that you might have heard before, but there's this old fact that baseball umpires used to call games from padded rocking chairs, which, you know, kind of sounds a little bit lazy.
Yeah, I mean, that fact always reminded me of that Seinfeld where George gets a security guard a chair because he wants him to be able to take a load off, but then they debate what type of chair is comfortable but not too comfortable, you know, that whole thing.
And, of course, in that case, it's disastrous. But back to baseball. So the rocking chair bit seems a bit suspect, and maybe that happened once or twice, but I couldn't really find any credible evidence of it. Uh-huh. But what is true is that umpiring was a totally different thing in the early days of baseball. At the time, baseball was this gentleman's pastime, and umpires were always volunteers. In fact, it was considered an honor to be asked to umpire a game because it meant you were a person of some standing and, you know, that you were known for your fairness. And their clothing kind of showed this. So I found this in the Society for American Baseball Research, but in early woodcuts of baseball games, quote, the idealized stereotype of an umpire was a distinguished-looking fellow, often attired in a top hat, Prince Albert coat, and cane, who stood kneeled or sat on a stool a respectable distance from home plate along the first baseline. I kind of wish this was still the case. See the top
hat
and everything?
Top hat.
Exactly. And of course, as the game became more competitive and umpiring felt less like an honor and more like a hassle, these umpires got paid and they put on these new uniforms and move them closer into the plate to make better calls and all of that. But it's interesting to read that history.
Well, I do know we've got two more facts to go. So why don't we go to a little break first and then get back to those.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Welcome back to Part-Time Genius, where we're talking rules and changes in sports. All right, Mango, we got one last fact each. What's your last one going to be?
So one of the things I'm always fascinated by is how sports often change their rules based on, like, one player's dominance. Mm-hmm. And you think about how, like, there was no dunking college basketball for a number of years because of Lew Alcindor, who, you know, changed his name to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and was just unstoppable in college. And then the same was true for Wilt Chamberlain, who I guess used to lob up his free throws and then jump in the lane and dunk them, which is why players can't cross the plane of the free throw line, you know, while shooting.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And there are lots of stories like that. But do you know that when Darren Sproles was a tiny kid and played football, his league instituted a rule that he wasn't allowed to run any sweeps because he scored every single time he was handed the ball and ran one?
Oh, wow.
He was just so dominant in this, like, peewee league that they banned him from running it, and they changed the rules just for him.
I mean, he was super fast. Yeah, I could see that happening. I'd not heard that. And terrifyingly, he was that good at such a young age.
Yeah. So how are you going to close this one out?
All right, I think I want to go with a fact about kickball, as I mentioned earlier. So did you know that in the original rules for kickball, and this is from the 1920s, was that there was actually no pitcher?
Mm-hmm.
So apparently teams were supposed to have 15 people on each side, and you just placed the ball on home plate, and then you just ran up and kicked it. Also, kids had to stand 20 feet away from you, and if the ball didn't go that far, it was an automatic out, which I guess sounds fine, but the strangest thing about the original rules is that there were only two bases, and you didn't have to advance the bases when someone kicked the ball. So I guess technically 14 kids could be standing on that base when the last kicker was at bat, and then they would all run home at one time, which just sounds bananas to me.
I know. It sounds like chaos. I am glad they changed the rules, but I also kind of want to see, like, an old-timey kickball league, like, show up on, you know, on the playground somewhere or on ESPN3 some weekend. So I do think you win the fact off with that fact.
All right. Well, thanks so much. And thank you guys for listening. We'll be back with a full-length episode tomorrow.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.